Good morning.
Good morning.
A little anxious today. The last time I preached out of Romans 8, I saw a miracle. So I don't know if we got the miracle when Scott got his pacemaker, or there might be a miracle today, or... Right. Well, the last time I preached a sermon called Faith Over Fear, and at a church I used to serve at, this guy was waiting on a lung transplant. And he got the call in the middle of the service. All his family happened to be in town from all over. And it was just this beautiful experience. And I'm like, whoa, what we got going today? Not the same message, but similar content. I'm going to start with Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me to a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Amen. I don't know how everybody else deals with life or their faith walk or their journey. I don't know y'all well enough yet. But when I struggle, I find a piece of scripture and I just read it. And then I read it again. And then I read it again and again and again. And I set it down and I read it some more. And each time I read it, it speaks a little different to me. It has a little different tone. You can pick it up a year later and it sounds different. I'm like, oh, I didn't get it that way the first time, okay. And I just read it over and over again, and I've got some verses I go to when I'm really struggling, like Psalm 46:10, be still and know I'm God, is one of my favorites. I'm like, hey, dummy, you know, God's got this. Just shut up, calm your mind down, and deal with this, and you know, let me quit worrying about stuff. I'm like Captain Worrier. I could, like, teach people how to worry. I'm really good at it. But I tried to struggle through, like, Romans 8, and Romans 8 is one of my favorites. I love Paul. You know, we all know the Paul story, but how Saul became Paul, and he says these things, and it just gets me. And you're like, oh. And it just feels like it's written for me in Romans 8. I know it's not, but it really speaks to me. It says, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, the first little section, that's where our salvation comes from. Paul is telling us in a very short couple of verses, this is the light, this is our salvation, we're not worthy. God made a way through Jesus, and a sinful looking man, like as a man, to be unearthed, to be the sacrifice for our sins. Okay. Bam. What a great way to start a book of the Bible here, or section of the Bible here, chapter 8. Then the next verse says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Sounds amazing. I like stuff. I really like cars and motorcycles and things that go bang. And sometimes, if I'm honest, my brain dwells on that. and dwells on it and dwells and dwells and dwells and dwells and dwells on that stuff. I love cars, and I have a couple, and I really like them, and I like thinking about them. And a big wheel cover came off my Pontiac, and I can't find one. It's driving me crazy. I went looking for it, and I've been focused on that. Does it matter? No. Is it really important in my life that I find this thing? No. Can I buy one somewhere? Yes. But I focus on worldly things sometimes, and my brain has to stop. I have to be like, ah! Does God care if I'm missing this wheel cover? No. Why should I care about it? It'll be fine. Everything's fine, but that's a very trivial thing I'm talking about. But it's my life. Like, oh, I got. What's God want me to be doing? What's God calling me to do? Where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? Who am I supposed to be talking to? And oddly enough, there's a garage next door to my office. I have an office in Springfield where I do some lobbying for good stuff. And a guy runs this garage, and he keeps saying, dropping hints to me. And I'm like, he's like, you're a good guy. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And I tell my little story, and you're a good guy. And why do you do those things? I'm like, well, try to be a good Christian. Huh. We were at the big car show, the big Mother Road, and he's introducing me to this friend. I don't know why, but he's introducing me to his friend from another state and says, he's trying to save us all. That's what he said. And not that I could save anybody, but I'm going to point you in the right direction. And I thought, am I witnessing to this guy on accident? Am I having these godly conversations and they're just flowing out of me? Am I focusing on the Spirit instead of wheel covers? I'm like, wow, what an amazing thing. And I'm not taking any credit at all for this. It's a God thing. But when I focus on the Spirit, things happen in a spiritual realm. It says the mind is governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Like I said, when I'm focused on the other stuff, I can't please God. When I'm thinking about God and I'm praying and I'm in the right realm, I'm in the right spirit, people start saying things like that. My neighbor calls me the hot rod pastor. He said, I hear your challenger fire up every morning on your way to work. I call my buddies my hot rod pastor. I still don't know what to do with that. It says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Does it say we're righteous? No. Only through God are we righteous. Paul defines it out for us. Whew. But if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, have you ever seen those people on TV? And they're like, if you send $1,000, God's going to send you back $20,000. Send me your life savings and God will bless you. I've watched some of those folks and go, what? That's not God. That's not what God's asking us to do. Are you supposed to be faithful with your money? Yes. Are you supposed to be a good tither to your church? Yes. Are you supposed to give money to some guy so he can buy a jumbo jet? No. I don't believe the Spirit lives in those people. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Big stuff here, folks. Big stuff. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And indeed, we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. We get adopted into the kingdom. Do we measure up? No. Does, God make a way? Yes. This Abba Father I could talk about for about another hour. This is such a cool word. Once upon a time, I was in a Pentecostal church. I ran sound, amazingly enough, and because I'm practically deaf. So it sounded great to me. There was a gentleman playing, and he was just strumming on the guitar, and sometimes people are kind of big-headed when they get good at being a musician. Not all of them, but some people get just big-headed. He was not that guy. He was just the most humble guy you've ever met in your life. He's just strumming away, you know, G chord, strumming the guitar. And he just sings Abba Father over and over again. He's just in his own little world, off to himself, Abba Father, Abba Father. He's praying while he's playing the guitar, and I'm just like, what is this moment that I'm somehow sharing in? And he's like, I'm ready to go home. And he's just, Abba Father. He just kept saying Abba Father over and over again. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. And the Holy Spirit was there, and I felt it was a good thing, but my brain could not comprehend what was going on. He was gone in about an hour. He was somehow communicating and making peace with God all in this one word while he's strumming the guitar. And I'm like, whoa. That one word stuck in my head all this time. That's been years ago. Just an amazing person, and he was one of the people I talked about last week that glows. One of the people that have the Holy Spirit, and they just glow. Like Scott's glowing today. He's got all the blood going to his face. He's just glowing. You can see the differences. Can you see the difference in Scott? It's not just me, right? Like, he's pink. He's rosy like my shirt. It's awesome. I love it. Like, here's a testimony right here. He's just glowing. He didn't have to say anything. And that was one of those guys, and he just sang Abba Father on the guitar. This Abba Father, and I'm like, that's a strange word, Abba Father. And my brain's trying to comprehend in a very earthly way. And he was just talking to God. He was ready to go home. Further on, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whew, that's a tough one. Because we all go through stuff, and it's our whole world for that moment in time that we're struggling with. My youngest son's super duper type 1 diabetic, and his blood sugar's been up and down and up and down and up and up and up and up and up for the past 3 weeks. And so you have to get up in the middle of the night and give him a shot, and you have to check his sugar and his ketones and all this fun stuff in the middle of the night, and you get a couple hours of sleep, and then, oh, we got to check his ketones. What's your blood sugar? And you're thinking about all these numbers and stuff. And to me, this is my whole world. We're worried about this kid, and we need to take him to the emergency room. He's been to the emergency room. What do we do for this kid? I can't fix him. There's nothing I can give him, you know, sort of insulin, but that's not working out. And I'm like, what do I do? And I'm thinking I'm suffering, and it's nothing. God's got this. He's going to take care of him. His name's Julius. Julius is going to be taken care of, and he's okay. He's going to be okay. But whew, we just think the present sufferings are just, oh my gosh. Wait about the glory. Wait till I tell you he's healed. Wait till I tell you this blood sugar is normal. Wait till I tell you he's been delivered from this. It compares nothing to the suffering. We forget about that. It says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. People are watching. People are watching what Scott was going to do. I'm picking on Scott, but people are watching. He's like, I got to get a pacemaker. People are watching. What's God going to do? Is God going to fix him up? Is God not going to fix him up? Is he going to go home being glory? Is he going to be with Jesus? What's going to happen to Scott? People are watching us. They want to know what we do. They're nosy. People watch my Facebook page all the time. I don't care because I'm putting scripture and stuff on there. I don't care in the stupid stuff I do. And here's a picture of my car and whatever. And here's my kids and all this stuff. They're watching. What's Shane going to do? How's Shane going to handle this? What's his family going to do? Is the glory going to be revealed? We know that the whole creation has been grooming us in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Do you feel that right now? Whew. Every day I'm going, whew. Is this it? Is the trumpet call? Is Jesus come back today? Right now? Are we ready? Did I tell everybody I could about Jesus? Every day something happens in the news. I'm like, uh-oh. Prophecy. Uh-oh, prophecy. This sounds like prophecy. Uh-oh, prophecy. Wars and rumors of wars with Israel. Is it today? Are we ready? This is not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. We're ready to go home. If Jesus is coming, I'm ready to go. You ready to go? I want to go. I want to see y'all there. I'm ready. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no longer hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Whew, I'm ready. Let's go. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Have you ever went to pray to God and go, yeah. I usually say help. God help. Because I don't even have the words to articulate to God. I know He knows what's on my heart, knows what's in my spirit. And I'm just like, meh. And you're just sitting there, God, I don't know. I don't even know what to ask for. And God knows. God knows these wordless groans. I pray in my car a lot with my eyes open. Don't get real worried. But sometimes I'm there. I just shut off the radio and I'm just hanging out with God. I'm waiting for Him to tell me something or just say, hey, God, I don't know what's going on. I need some clarification. I need some direction. I need some whatever. And I just sit there and wait. Verse 28 is this big power verse for my life, and I probably already told you this, but I got a big sign with this in my living room. I look at it every day. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. When you're going through the crap, and you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, you don't know what your health's going to do, or your loved ones, or your job, or whatever, I read this verse. Over and over and over and over again. God works for the good of those who love Him. Those who love Him. That I know. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know God loves me. It says, for those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I was talking to, where's he at? John Bob. And he was talking about the bathroom thing that floors me, that there's all these signs and stuff, and we can't figure out which bathroom to go into because there's like a dog and a person and a whole family. And he mentioned one of my favorite verses of all time, that God knit us in our mother's womb. It's Psalm 114:4, I think. And I have that picture in my head that God's got these knitting needles and He's making chain in my mom's womb. You know, He's whipping me up. And it reminds me of this verse too, that He knew us ahead of time. He foreknew. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He knew that I was going to be about yay tall and about yay wide. He knew my voice would waver sometimes. He knew I'd go through all these experiences and I'd turn right when I was supposed to turn left. And He knew. He predestined. He knew what the heck I was going to do before I ever did it. And might not have appreciated it, but He knew what I was going to do, and yet called me to be redeemed. So then those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justifies. Those He justified, He also glorified. Not that I deserve it at all. Here's another one of those power verses that if you write your Bible or highlight your Bible or use a pencil in your Bible, it says, what then in response shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You need to write that on your hand, or your Bible, or your heart, or a piece of paper, or scribe it into your desk, or whatever. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will not also, along with Him, graciously give us all these things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God that justifies. Who then? No one who condemns. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Interceding for us. Right this second in time, he is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we will face death all day long. We are considered to be sheep to be slaughtered. Again, another, what I call a power verse, verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, write this down. Write that on your heart. When you're going through struggle tomorrow, Tuesday, a month from now, 10 years from now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through them who loved us. That should be Scott's power verse from the other day. Whew. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's got us. I don't know how else to say it. He loves us. He made a way for us. He's got us. We're more than conquerors. Somehow through medical science, it zaps Scott, and he's good. His heart's good. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know how it works. I don't know anything about medicine, but he's good. That's all I need to know. He conquered death. He's still with us. Now, if he wasn't with us, he'd be in heaven. That's okay, too. That's a great alternative. But he's more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror because of God. I've done a lot of dumb stuff. I'll probably do more dumb stuff. But God saved me through each one of those things. Each bad decision, God saved me from. I had some private conversations a few weeks ago, and I've got a son that's 27 that's in South Carolina, and I hadn't talked to him since April. It broke my heart. Broke my heart. Love my son. Love all my kids. And he called me out of nowhere. Dad, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I lost it. I'm still crying about it. My son called me. My parents and I had the same part of the problem thing that we all have conflict in life and with our parents and everybody around us. And my folks called me. And I'm like, okay, God. Okay, I hear you. You're answering prayers. I'm listening. My daughter has been talking to me. I've got a whole bunch of kids, but my two older ones kind of been estranged for a while. How life happens, and they don't agree with your point of view on things, so they just don't talk to you for a while. She calls me about once a week now and just lets me know what's going on. Sometimes deep conversations, sometimes light conversations. And to me, that's a victory. I can talk to my kids. I see all the other ones all the rest of the time, all the time. Maybe too much of the time. No, I love them dearly, but I just think about, wow, God's working this all out for us. God's working every little thing out. Every little thing. I haven't seen Bob in like a year and a half or something, maybe longer than that. He walked down to Sunday school this morning. I'm like, hey, Bob. Why is Bob here? How cool is that? It's awesome to me to see familiar faces, and you guys are getting to be familiar faces to me now, but God's working it out. We're more than conquerors. When we get in that dark place, we just got to remind ourselves, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. It sounds silly. It sounds like, why would you just say that? But you just have to remind yourself, over, God's got this. God's got me. We are more than conquerors. If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't say except or but or however. It says, what then shall we be in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What? Where's the blank? We have to remind ourselves of these things. And I'm just going to close with these last couple verses here that, man, I just pray that when you get in the dark place, and I've been in the dark place too many times, and I've struggled with depression in the past, and it's hard. If you're a pastor and you're praying for people all the time and you don't really see God moving and you want people to be healed and you want your friends to be healed and you care about your family being healed and you're carrying all this stuff with you all the time, it gets heavy. And you're like, man, Am I good enough to be doing this? Am I really called to do this? Am I mistaken in my belief system? What am I doing? And then you get back to this and go, well, wait a minute. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm not powerful enough to separate myself from God. He's just going to keep calling me back home. He's going to say, hey, dummy, come on. I told you 5,262 times. Come back. Father God, I'm just so very thankful you remind us with your word over and over again how much you love us. That salvation is in your Son, that you sent to die on the cross for us, that we may be redeemed, that no enemy is bigger than you, Father God, that you can conquer anything, that we are conquerors because of you, Father God. We're just so grateful and we praise your holy name, Father God, that you are with us and you love us and you knit us in our mother's womb with so much love. We're just so thankful for that love today, Lord. Amen.